Right now it is time for us once again to visit the pages of Main Street Magazine. Now you can find Main Street Magazine throughout our tri-state region at various locations absolutely free of charge, and also a companion on the web, mainstreetmag.com. And on a Tuesday morning, we end up chatting with Thorin Christendott. Thorin, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. How are you?
I can't complain, you know.
That's good. That's always a better thing.
Us golfers have a term, on the right side of the dirt, and we move. And with that being on the right side of the dirt, it's a perfect lead-in because I like the story because this week with the Sharon Playhouse doing two things, one of them is a cemetery walk where they've got a lot of actors and everything like that. And then they have, of course, a Little Shop of Horrors on Sunday. But Hard History is the story. Hard History in Northwest Connecticut and the Berkshires.
Yeah, so obviously October issue is our history issue. So we have an assortment of stories. And Rona was kind enough to share this with us, looking at the hard history of that area and some of the things that are uncomfortable to talk about that happened here. And, you know, some of these topics are such as slavery are, you know, and the treatment of certain people is very much on our, subject to today, even to discussing.
And you've got all story on the Valentine family, which is one of, and I didn't realize this, one of the oldest businesses in Dutchess County.
Yes, so we focus on actually Bruce, who now runs the business and has for a long time. But Bruce is a very nice guy. We see him just about every day. His sister Libby does some of our covers and delivers the magazine. So we know the Valentines pretty well. And they're literally three doors down from us. And so we've seen Bruce, you know, going to and from, and Libby has photographed some of his stuff he does. And she photographed, actually, to tell you why the story was sparked her interest. About 2-3 months ago, she was photographing. Bruce was cleaning, 150-year-old stones, gravesite stones, and the process was just fascinating, and the photographs told the story, and so we were like, oh, we should definitely do a story about Bruce, and it would be a perfect fit for this issue, but just talking about the legacy of the business, his business, and the craftsmanship that goes into it, and how his family has been here and doing this sort of work for quite a long time.
All right. Once again, we're speaking with Thorin from Main Street Magazine at your newsstands and pick up locations throughout the area and also on the web, Main Street Mag. I knew about the Housatonic Heritage Heritage before it was even formed. Dan Boliani, who used to be, I think he is, with the Interlaken, was a major part of that. And now the Housatonic Heritage History Tours are really a staple, even though this was a strange year, once again.
Yes.
It's a great organization, and Mary O'Neill's got a story about that. And through that, you get an idea about the history that goes through our whole area, which is absolutely amazing.
That's one of the things I really love about this area, the richness of the history. I mean, just look at, you know, the area that we live in, and I can never pronounce the name of it, the Lake Wanapunda, whatever. Yeah, it's a hard one. But, you know, just look at that. If you look at, okay, how did that come about? Obviously, that goes back to the Native Americans. But, you know, the history here goes back hundreds upon hundreds of years, and each part of the history has its own, you know, significance in changing our area, our community, and impacting it. You know, why are some of the streets called what they're called? You know, why do roads lead a certain way or go follow a certain trail? And it's all for a reason. And I mean, you know, going from the Native American history, which is fascinating to me as, you know, someone who's not even from this country, to the Industrial Revolution and the impact here, and then the farming here and how it has, you know, how so many of the products made here were shipped to the city, or how, you know, during the Industrial Revolution or even the Civil War, how some of the materials made here had to be shipped to, you know, the war effort. So to me, it's never ending, the history here and the richness of it. It's just so amazing to see. And the generations of families, you know, like the Valentines, who have been here and contributed to the community and the richness of our history.
And along with that history, you've got a story by Mary, on do-it-yourself oral history. And what really interested me about this story is that years ago when we started this radio station, different grammar schools used to offer at the end of the year a chance for their eighth graders to either write up a newspaper article or do an oral podcast, which this is so long ago, it was before it was called podcast, where we would play it on the radio. And now Abby Adam, I've worked with her now over the past couple of years, where she supplied me a couple of the podcasts that students have put together, do-it-yourself oral history.
So the Heritage story actually references the oral history, and so it was a nice lead, and Mary is the one who actually connected me also with Judith, who wrote this for us. But this is a really cool piece, in my opinion, for the fact that, you think history, it's such a big topic and, it's not approachable sometimes. But here is a way that, even your average person can create, a piece of history and oral history and talk to, she gives you examples of the things you can do and how you can do it. And just to keep it alive and keep it with us and history is what has been recorded and remembered. So it's up to us to keep, the memories alive or the things that happened or the people. And so I think this is a wonderful piece and a lesson for many and how you could, especially now when if you have kids, of that certain age, to have them do a project on it. And this gives you the guides as to how to do it.
And another story, which has a personal connection to me, and I saw the pictures, and that is your story on reflecting on Sullivan County's resort scene. And the reason that has a connection to me, my father was a big-time comic in the 1950s, okay? Mm-hmm. And he used to perform at the Concord all the time, the Concord Resort all the time. We used to get to go in the summertime, when my father would perform there for 2 weeks at a time, we got to stay. And meet just an amazing amount of people. But the resort scene in our area, and this is, of course, you're talking about specifically Sullivan County, but even here, we used to have major resorts here, like in Lakeville, and it was an amazing scene what would happen up here on the weekends and in the summertime with these huge resorts.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I mean, to me, I think of Dirty Dancing, and that's actually, referenced here because that was supposed to have taken place in the Hudson Valley. So that was kind of the inspiration for Regina's piece here. But what I found to be just fascinating was to see the timeline of this and the scale of some of these hotels. I mean, one of them, I forget which the name now, was the largest in the world at the time. And just to see that change and transformation to the area and the impact of it and then how it rose and declined and why. And I feel like perhaps, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we have another surge, not necessarily in resorts, but in this being a destinations area right now.
Well, it was so interesting because the Catskills were so close to New York City. And in the summertime, in the wintertime, the circuit would be Florida first and then out to Las Vegas for major entertainers. And in the summertime, it was the Catskills. And I mean, I remember as a kid just the amazing size of the Concord. They had underground indoor shopping malls. This place was so big and so many people used to go to it. And every major act performed all these places. And it really is a unique part of our area. And as I said, even over here in Connecticut, we had some of those resorts in Lakeville and stuff. So this was a big-time area. And now, once again, it's always been an area for people to have weekend homes. But now, even more with the pandemic, people appreciating how close you are to New York now, of course, with the railroad and everything. Once again, people are coming to stay here. And I can say that once again because my brother's daughter moved up here. She works in New York, but they moved up there. They bought a house in Cornwall. And she now commutes into the city 1 day a week. And she does the rest from her home. And she works for a major ad agency. So it's interesting how it's not entertainment, but once again, this area is another big draw for people from big cities.
It is. And hey, we know why. We think it's pretty awesome up here and everything that it has to offer from, the history to the amenities and to entertainment and food even. So, we get it.
So this month's Main Street Magazine history, and I'm telling you, it's history that you can delve into, because I don't want you to think it's instructional history. It's informative history if you don't know about these things. And we've only just scratched a couple of the stories that are in Main Street Magazine at MainStreetMag.com. Thorin, we'll speak to you again next week.
Sounds good. Have a good week.
All right, take care, Thorin. That is Main Street Magazine here on Robin Hood Radio. And once again, you can find them on the web, mainstreetmag.com, and throughout our region, where they're available free pickup of their magazine as well.